What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing on with our book club pick, Leadership as an Identity, The Four Traits of Those Who Wield Lasting Influence, written by Crawford Loritz. We are actually, I realized this once I finished this chapter, on the last chapter of part two of the book. So we are over halfway finished. The book is broken up into four parts, and the author says that these four things are the four common identity characteristics that Christian leaders live from and lead with. The first one in part one was brokenness. We're on the last chapter of part two, which is uncommon communion. Next week, we'll be moving into part three on servanthood. And then number four is radical and immediate obedience. Last episode, we talked about his presence. That was the previous chapter. And so in this chapter, it's all about his direction. And one thing I really am enjoying about this book is that if you are somebody that the Lord has called into any area, business, ministry, nonprofit, work, career, whatever the case may be for you, and you're struggling with grappling or wrapping your mind around what all it's going to take to embark on what the Lord has called you to, this book is very necessary. I believe that we can often approach certain resources from like a self-help standpoint. But what I like about this book is it's less about leadership styles or best practices for Christian leaders. It's really about the core heart posture and the foundation and the position in which we lead from. And if you're somebody who's in that position and you're just trying to wrap your mind around all of what the Lord has shown you, and you're dealing with all the feelings of being unqualified, all the emotions that come up, and don't, God, why me? Why are you choosing me? I'm not qualified for this. I don't have the experience for that. This seems too far-fetched to be you speaking to me. If you find yourself in that position, this is the perfect book for you to read. And I say that because this may not be the book that you go looking for, but this is the perfect book that you need to read because it does an excellent job of setting realistic expectations of what this journey is going to require of you. A lot of the things that he's discussing here are things I had to learn the hard way. And so as I'm reading it, I'm like, man, where was this 8 years ago when I was first stepping out on faith and stepping into and recognizing what the Lord was calling me to do? I feel like I would have saved myself a lot of tears, a lot of confusion, a lot of frustration. This book provides clarity. If I could give it in like one word to describe it, I would say clarity. Because what happens in this space of faith, business, faith, leadership, anything enterprising mixed with faith is you get a lot of this prosperity gospel, this toxic positivity, this whole using the name of Jesus as this magic wand, as opposed to the power in which you are really calling upon. And it leaves so many people emotionally high, but ill-equipped to do what the Lord has called them to. So the second that your brokenness is brought to the surface, the second that your connection is challenged, the second that the depth of your relationship with the Lord is challenged and you don't have enough depth to sustain what he's called you to, the second that those things start rising to the surface, you don't know what to do with it. So you run, you hide, you stop, you shut down, you shrink. As opposed to understanding truly what is going to be required of you on this journey. So a book like this is so refreshing in today's time, because there's a lot of foolishness out there, and there's a lot of people that are popular, that have platforms, that have millions and millions of followers and millions and millions of dollars, that are straight lying to God's people. So this book right here is going, I don't want to say going in the Hall of Fame for me just yet, because we're only halfway through, but this book right here, I am just genuinely appreciating the honesty and the clarity that it can provide for those who may be struggling as a Christian leader, or struggling just with the thought of stepping into it. You don't have to be a leader yet to read this book. Like I said, I feel like this is a great resource for those who haven't necessarily stepped into anything yet, but you've gotten that revelation from the Lord. This is a great book to let you know what to expect, so, and how you should go about it, so that you're not making a lot of preventable mistakes. So in this episode, we are picking up on chapter 10, the last chapter in the Uncommon Communion section, and it's titled His Direction. Every chapter is opened with a scripture and a quote. The scripture that he opens with is Psalm 32:8, which says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. The quote is from Bob Gernt, and it says, I ask God nearly every morning to show me the work he has for me on this day. Having come to this point late in my life, I do not presume that he has big plans for me, but I am totally content to work at whatever level and in whatever area he has for me. I love that this chapter, His Direction, is directly after the chapter about His Presence, because I believe in conversations I've had with entrepreneurs over the years, a common mistake that a lot of entrepreneurs make is we try to find His direction outside of His presence, and it is so backwards and it never works. And I did the exact same thing early in my walk. I remember even thinking back to childhood, I was at my grandmother's church one time, and I forgot what the pastor was preaching about. I think about purpose, and he was talking about how everybody had a purpose. And as a young child, I asked my grandmother, like, well, how do I know what my purpose is? And so she set up a meeting with me and the pastor, and we talked about it. I don't remember the outcome of that. Again, I was a kid. I probably had the question, but I wasn't like really about to do anything with it just yet. But if my child was to ask me that question today, with the wisdom that I have based upon my journey thus far, I will tell my child, I would affirm them that the Lord has given all of us a purpose. And I will tell him that through relationship with the Lord, through you just serving him with your whole heart, with you living the way that he wants you to live, with you having uncommon communion, not to this book, the Lord will reveal to you what that purpose is, and he will reveal to you how you need to behave, or what decisions you need to make, or what you need to obey in order for that purpose to unfold over time. And I don't remember getting that answer when I was younger. I don't remember being directed back to a relationship with the Lord. And so I just went on with my young life. As I got older, when I was out of college and looking to start a business and trying to figure out what I wanted to do, I was back in the church at this point, but not fully, totally surrendered to the Lord yet. Like, this was that period where I was going to church regularly. I knew the Lord was drawing me near, but, you know, just one foot in, foot out. I'm still in the club on Saturday, but I show up to church on Sunday. I was just in that spot. And I remember wanting to just live a life that was purposeful in that phase of my life. I'm fresh out of college, got jobs, just trying to do the quote unquote American dream, but feeling that there's something more that my life should become, but trying to figure out exactly what that is and feeling that pull. I know now that's the Holy Spirit, but back then I just couldn't describe it. And so my first inkling was to go to my pastor. And so the pastor of the church that I was going through at that time, he gave me solid wisdom based off his own understanding. But again, he did not send me back to the Word. He didn't tell me, hey, it's through your connection with Christ, it's through your dedication to him, and you truly living right and just having a servant's heart, that first, that foundation will then begin to reveal the clarity that you're looking for. His presence will reveal the direction that you're looking for. I didn't really get that. I got some good surface level advice. It wasn't until I was dissatisfied with these external sources and I started getting into the word for myself and getting saved, as I call it. It's just a period of time that I marked from when I was just saved, but to really living my life for the Lord. It wasn't until I just dedicated the entirety of my being for the Lord and made that covenant with him in my closet saying, God, if you light a fire on the inside of me for you, I promise you, I will never turn my back on you. That's a promise I made to the Lord in 2017, I want to say. And it's a promise that I have kept since then. I've sinned, of course, and I've fallen short. We all do. But I always repent and turn back. Nothing has been able to separate my dedication to the Lord since that period. And so it wasn't until then and me committing to my relationship with him, my closeness with him, being in his presence, identifying anything that is trying to separate it, eliminating it so that I could stay where I need to stay, and then seeing the instructions that come, seeing the opposition that has come and how the Lord equipped me to deal with the opposition, seeing what all of this obedience and these yeses and these tough seasons and his fasting and his praying has manifested to over the last 8 or so years. It is so clear to me the process. The process is his presence. And then from being in his presence, the direction comes. But again, as I talk to entrepreneurs all the time and people building things for the Lord, so many times is we're looking for the direction without his presence. If you're asking me and you ain't sat with the Lord, this is backwards. There's something wrong here. And we have to be honest and say a lot of times we do that because it's easier to ask someone that we can look at eye to eye, face to face, and glean from or get wisdom from. It's easier to do that than to be disciplined in time and closeness to a God that we can't see. It's understandable why that is difficult, but it is still a requirement in order for you to seek his direction or to receive his direction and instructions. A lot of you are in that space of trying to decipher between a you idea, a God idea. You don't know how to determine, is this something that I'm trying to do or is this something that the Lord has given me? That is evidence of some type of disconnect in your closeness. But I don't want to reteach last week. So if you have not listened to the bonus episode titled His Presence, go back and listen to that. This chapter is all about direction, and he starts it off really well. He says, leadership is fueled by a compelling sense of mission. What inspires us to take action is an irresistible picture of either what should be done or what could be done. We then focus our determination to make it happen. This is true of all leadership, but there is more. Christian leadership is all about doing what God wants done. Y'all hear that? Christian leadership is all about doing what God wants done. There is no leadership apart from a clear assignment from God. As we saw in the case of King Uzziah, one of the most dangerous things for a Christian leader to do is to make assumptions about what God wants done. He wants to tell us what he wants to do.
This episode is brought to you by IXL Learning. Parents, now, y'all know this homework that we help these kids with is not the homework that we did when we were growing up. Do you feel like your child is asking questions on their homework and you don't quite have the answers? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. I love how IXL makes learning fun and adapts to the level of your specific child. Funny enough, I learned that this upcoming fall, my son's school actually uses IXL, and I'm so excited to become an official IXL parent. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids, and you save time. One subscription gets you everything. One site for all the kids in your home from pre-K to 12th grade. You save money, so if your child is struggling, this is the smartest investment that you can make. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. You're in the swing of things for the new year in your business, and you just realize your business needs to hire somebody like yesterday, and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast. It's easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. One of the things that I always was frustrated with when hiring is how long it takes. It was slow, overwhelming, and I wish I had Indeed. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. Ladies, can we talk for a second? Do you ever feel yourself being overwhelmed by hormonal changes? You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors that are living rent-free in our environment right now. I mean, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, everything, they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the normal hormonal changes that our body goes through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we have to suffer through it. Because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today. The closer we get to God's heart, the stronger our faith becomes. Our steps become more certain because He has spoken to us, because He discloses Himself and His plans for us. For some of you, this may sound a bit mystical. Perhaps you struggle with whether or not God speaks to leaders today the same way He did to people in the Bible. Personally, I don't know what God's voice sounds like. I have never heard a voice in my head that I recognized as being distinctively God's voice, but I know God has spoken to me. Let me explain. God primarily speaks to us through His Word, the 66 books of the Bible. God's Word is His will, and He will never lead us to do anything that contradicts what is in the Bible. But He also leads us by His Spirit. He gives us assignments and opens doors for ministry and service. He gives us impressions and ideas. When we pray to know what He wants us to do, He shows us in many ways. Often it's a sense of conviction about a choice that somehow you know it's the right thing to do, and then you experience His peace as you follow Him.
And he wants us to keep coming to him so that he can tell us what he wants to do through us. God's pattern in the scriptures is to tell his leaders just enough so that they can take the immediate steps of obedience, but he does not give them the details of his plan. Often he will provide a compelling picture of the future, aka a vision, to call us to purpose and to inspire action. Whether it was the call of Abraham to leave his homeland and become the father of many nations, the call of Moses to deliver Israel and lead them to the land of promise, the call of Joshua to make Canaan a peaceful place for Israel to live, the call of the disciples to make disciples of all the nations, the call of Paul to plant and expand a church among the Gentiles, the pattern was the same. Godly leaders act on what God clearly tells them to do, and then they keep coming to him when they don't know what to do next. I had to read all of that because I just couldn't say it any better. He gave us the blueprint right here. This is what that relationship looks like when you're doing life, business, ministry, leadership God's way. You get your instruction, you do your part, and then you go back to get the next set of instruction. So many of us have the misconception that the Lord is going to give us the total picture. Now, as he stated here, sometimes the Lord will give us a vision of what's to come, but it's more so to encourage us and to drive us to action. It's more motivational than it is informational. The Lord has showed me things, and I communicated this, I want to say last week, in talking about what the Lord has showed me as it relates to law school. And even on my law school application journey, when I was asking the Lord, like, God, I really got to make sure this is you in order for me to move forward with this, because it's too costly for me to just jump into it willy-nilly. And so the Lord gave me a vision of how he was going to use me in this area. And I have no clue. The vision was enough to drive me to action, but I don't have enough information to try to do that now. And that's what the Lord will do. He will show you things, but it's to drive you to action, not action to figure it out, but action to just do what the instruction is. That's it. And to be honest, if the Lord gives us a vision, it's totally dependent on the Lord. So we have to be disciplined in our obedience enough to where whether he gives us a vision or not, we're still going to do what he said, period. And I personally believe that this process and this relationship of building with the Lord is set up this way to keep us humble. I remember I answered a question on a show in whatever mailbag episode we did previously about pride. And one of the ways that I personally don't, or one of the reasons I feel that I don't personally deal with pride in the sense of like poking my chest out of I'm so great, I've accomplished X, Y, Z, is that I know the process of what this looks like to where it's I'm in the presence of God. I get this instruction. I do it. I go back to the presence of God. I get the next instruction. I do it. Maybe 25 obedience later. I don't even know if that's a word. Maybe 25 acts of obedience later, you look up and like, oh, okay, well, this looks like it's working out a little bit. Every now and then you come up for air and you're like, whoa, is this many people listening to this podcast? Whoa, my business is generating this income? These people are being blessed? My kids are able to experience X, Y, Z? And it just sends you into a new level of praise and gratitude to the Lord because it wasn't your effort. You were just doing what you were told. That's it. And using the bit of skills and knowledge and or whatever talents you have to be obedient, not to be in charge. And so again, I have to champion how he is just really laying out this blueprint because it is a sobering reality that I don't feel is talked about enough. Again, it's this misconception that the Lord gives us the full download and blueprint from day one before we act. And that is simply not true. When I mentor people and especially folks who are in a space where they're stuck and they have all of these emotions about I know the Lord is calling me to this, but I don't understand. I'm confused about that. I don't know what to do next. He told me to do this, but I don't know what next. And I would ask them, like, why do you need all of that information in order for you to just do what the Lord told you to do? Why? And I'm not asking that question to make them feel shame, but I'm asking that question to hopefully put into perspective that, hey, this is just how God operates. This is how this works. We're not supposed to have all of the clarity. We're supposed to have the instruction. And as you continue to follow the instruction, things start to get a bit more clear. But that is just the result of the obedience. It is not something that is revealed in order for you to obey. That's not how this works. I underlined the title of this next section because I thought it was so good. He said, we trust him because he's trustworthy. So many of us struggle with this, being in his presence and in obeying him and not having all the details and all of that, because there's a fundamental lack of trust. But this makes it so plain. We trust God and what he's telling us to do because he is trustworthy. I have highlighted here, he says, what the Lord has been teaching me through these years is that he not only wants to work through me, but he also wants to make me as he works through me. He wants me to expand my vision of him, get lost in his presence, and stand in awe of his power and his glory. But this cannot be an academic exercise. It has to be in real life and in real time. It's one thing to host a seminar on what God can do. It's quite another story to share what he has done and what you have become as a result. Again, another perfect picture of this journey, because sometimes I believe that we only look at seasons like the wilderness seasons of time of training and development, and then the Lord sent us out. But our development is a continual process. As we're obeying the Lord and in the midst of, in the deep end of whatever he's called us to do, in addition to him working through us, he's still molding us and forming us into his image and transforming us into who he's created us to be through this experience. A lot of the opposition that we faced, the discomfort, the emotions, the persecution, whatever discomfort we encounter on this journey, it all contributes to us becoming who he needs us to become. It's all a part of our transformational process. Can you continue to grow and build your business in the midst of financial turmoil? When people are difficult and turn their back on you, can you still love them and be Christ-like and still be ethical and have integrity in your endeavors when it's easier to just be petty or to cut people off? These are the things that happen in business and in leadership that we just have to go through. Everything ain't to be prayed away. Some things the Holy Spirit leads us into so that it can transform us. And that's a part of this journey. That the Lord, as we obey and as we're in the thick of it, we're still being molded, still being transformed, still being made and molded by him. He gives an example in the book. He says, during his years of leadership with Crew, Bill Bright was often asked about his experience of receiving God's assignment to begin an organization that would be involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission. At the time, in 1951, he was a businessman and a seminary student. The night that God gave me the original vision, I was at home studying for a Greek exam, Bright said. It wasn't the kind of situation that is conducive to visions, but God, in a supernatural way, seemed to open up my mind to give me a vision that embraced the whole world. It was so intoxicating that I almost burst with joy. I wanted to shout the praises of God at the top of my voice. Bright said that he was confident that God would use him and others to reach the multitudes of the world for whom Christ died. But God didn't reveal how it would be done. I often think of the vision that God gave me that night as the beginning strokes of a giant-sized painting. Here is the canvas, and the artist puts the broad sweeps on it, the landscapes, the mountains. Later, he fills in the details. Had God given me all of the details that night, I'm sure I would have lost my sanity. I couldn't possibly have taken it. But he gave me what I could take, and that was an experience never to be forgotten. I remember some years ago, I had this dream, and this was around a time where I was struggling to carry a pregnancy to term. And I was believing in God for so many things. And, you know, my family was one of them. I was believing in him for some business stuff. And I had this vision where it was me, my husband, I was pregnant, and then there was a kid on my hip. The kid, I saw his face in a dream, looked just like me. And I could say now that that was my oldest son, because my oldest son looks exactly like me. If I had a fade, that's what he looked like. So in this dream, we were at a ribbon cutting ceremony. We were outside of some type of commercial property, and I had on a yellow dress. And so yellow is Anchor Media's primary color. But I didn't put two and two together back then. But it was such a beautiful vision because I just didn't really understand it. I mean, I don't know, standing outside of a commercial property, cutting a ribbon seemed cool. You know, my little family was there. So that seemed nice and all, but I just didn't understand it, but it was enough to make me feel good and comforted that the Lord was hearing me and he saw me, and that the future that he has for me includes the things that I have been praying for. And so it wasn't until years later that Anchor Media Studios even became a thing. Now, we didn't do a ribbon cutting ceremony or anything like that, but to be able to purchase that property. And when I purchased it, my oldest son was 2, and I was pregnant with my youngest son. And what the Lord showed me in that vision is exactly what happened. I didn't know the how. I didn't even know. Again, Anchor Media Studios was not even a thought of mine at the time of this vision. But it came to pass. And it came to pass by simply staying in the Lord's presence, doing what he said, and going back to get the next instruction.
This episode is brought to you by Effecty. Now, wellness and health are always at the top of my list, especially as it relates to losing weight and getting fit. Are you ready to lose weight as well? Have you heard about the groundbreaking GLP-1 treatments like Ozempic and Wegovy? With Effecty, getting access to these powerful medications has never been easier or more affordable. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, the same active ingredient as Ozempic and Wegovy, but for up to 80% less. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. Getting started is simple. You fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with the licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. Ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners get $50 off GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code BLESSED at checkout. That's Effecty, EffectyY.com, and use code BLESSED to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, no hidden fees. Get started today.
The author says, Clyde Cook observes that there is a close relationship between your walk with God and the assignment he has given you. He has made you and knows the gifts that he has given you. In order to maximize your effectiveness, you need to be close to him. As leaders, we have to fight to maintain the discipline of regularly entering God's presence to commune with him and to get his heart and mind concerning what he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. There's too much at stake for us to do otherwise. God's assignments have eternal implications. It's not just about the excitement and satisfaction of finishing a task or making something happen. It's the story of an assignment from God to have lasting impact on our lives. This is not a game we are playing. It's not a hobby we take up on the weekends. We're not a bunch of self-improvement gurus peddling comfortable advice so we all could feel good about ourselves. Neither are we Christian celebrities basking in our accomplishments, sharing with others how they can be like us. No, we are servants of the Most High God, desperate to know and committed to doing everything our Commander-in-Chief tells us to do. We passionately want to know what God wants us to do. He says, this is how God works. Planning is not wrong. Setting goals is not wrong. But self-reliance is wrong. He says, by the time we see Moses in chapter 33 of Exodus, he and the Israelites have been delivered from slavery in Egypt and are traveling to the land that God has promised to them. Moses has learned the importance of seeking God. Look at these words in Exodus 33, chapters 7 through 11. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. It says, it was Moses's practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord will go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. The author then says that there are four lessons that we can learn from the tent meetings here in Exodus. First, this meeting with God was a habit. The opening line of verse 7 says, it was Moses's practice. This apparently wasn't an occasional meeting that he had with God. The broader context of the book of Exodus underscores the regular, consistent habit that Moses had of meeting with God. Moses' life and the successful accomplishment of the mission depended on these meetings with God. He didn't know enough to be able to lead God's people on his own. This habit was everything to him. It was his lifeline, his hope, his source, his confidence. He had to meet with God. And of course, he puts the question back on us and asks, are you regularly and consistently meeting with God for him to give you his power and wisdom to do what he has placed in your hands to do? I want you to answer that question for yourself. I'm on a fast right now with the Ladies in My Purpose to podcast program. And today, actually, we have been talking a lot about dwelling and abiding in the Lord. And I was telling them how it is your responsibility. If you're going to be somebody who's going to have a platform, you're launching these podcasts, everything that you create is going to come from your communion with the Lord. And you have to be uncompromising about that time with him. Going into it with an agenda, a schedule, this mental checklist to do it just for the sake of doing it is not going to cut it. And as people who are type A, who are a bit more regimented or structured, this is a difficult aspect of our flesh to tame, but it's necessary. And most importantly, it has to be a regular commitment to where, just like Moses, he regularly went to the tent of meeting. We have to regularly stay connected with the Lord. The author says the second thing we could take from this is that the meeting was held away from distractions. The tent was pitched outside the camp, far off from the camp. Can you imagine the clamor, noise, distractions, and just the blizzard of busyness that 2.5 million people could dump on a leader? There were unfinished projects, and no doubt people were waiting to meet with him about important matters. But Moses made a special effort to take his tent away from the distractions to a quiet place to meet with God. He says, God wants to meet with you. He wants to speak to you. Most of the time, he doesn't shout or scream at you, but he just wants your undivided attention. Third, he says, when the people saw Moses going to meet with God, they were filled with anticipation. Look again at verse 8. It says, whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. The people came to expect something to happen because their leader met with God. Can't you imagine what was going through their minds? I wonder what God is going to say to Moses today. Or I wonder what's going to be different because Moses is meeting with God. Or what is God going to do for us after meeting with Moses? God's people should be filled with a sense of confidence and expectancy when their leaders meet with God on a regular basis. When we meet with God, in essence, we are pointing the people we lead to Him. Our habits model what really is core and important to us. When the people see the fruit of consistent communion with God in our lives, it gives them an appetite to do the same. In fact, verse 10 tells us that when people saw the pillar of cloud representing the presence of God at the entrance of the tent of meeting, the people will worship at their own tent door. This is compelling spiritual leadership. As leaders, we must model what those whom we are influencing need to become and not just what we want them to do. The fourth lesson, Moses experienced a rare intimacy with God. This is that uncommon communion that I mentioned in the last chapter. Fix your eyes on these holy, tender words in verse 11. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Read those words again. Now sit back, close your eyes, and ponder the implication of this awesome, holy, sovereign God of the universe speaking to a mortal, sinful human being as a man speaks to a friend. This was a meeting of two friends who just longed to see each other. I love this part because there's a level of comfortability that the Lord has with us that I feel like we don't always have with Him. The Lord loves us. He honors us. He is just so good to us consistently. And sometimes we can go into His presence uptight, kind of anxious, being withdrawn a little bit, not fully vulnerable, not fully relaxed. It's almost as if how differently you would behave if you were going out with your coworkers versus you going out with the people that you grew up with. Totally different. I know for me, if I'm going out with people that I just met or who are more so business associates, I would probably be a lot more composed, a lot more mindful of what I say, all of these things. I would be a lot more professional for sure. If I'm out with my friends that I've been friends with my whole life, most of my friendships are very long term. I got friends from middle school to adulthood. When I'm out with them, I'm way more chill, loud as I don't know what. All that laid back, don't talk too much type of demeanor that is more natural to me, you know, when I'm with the general public. But when I'm with my people, we're loud, laughing, cackling about everything, cracking jokes. It's just a different level of comfortability that is there. And because I'm totally comfortable, I'm not holding anything back, and we're able to connect and remain close and build upon our relationship. And it's the same thing with the Lord. We should come into that with still reverence and respect, of course, but we're coming into that time with Him relaxed, knowing that, yes, this is my God. This is my Lord. He is sovereign. He is all powerful. I worship Him. I respect Him. I live my life for Him. And also He wants to sit with me as a friend. So I'm honest with Him. I'm vulnerable with Him. I laugh with Him. I am upfront about things that I'm going through with Him. He's not somebody I'm keeping at arm's length. He's somebody that I'm drawing near to, and He's drawing near to me. There's a different level of closeness there. When I'm with my people, I could cry, I could laugh, I could be just 100 about anything that I'm going through because that relationship and that bond is there. And we should be the same way with the Lord. I believe that church and religion has taught us that we have to dress and act and be a certain type of way in order to be approved by God. But grace is His unmerited favor. We don't deserve the favor of the Lord, but He gives it to us anyway. We don't deserve to be saved, but we are anyway. So why not bring our whole selves to the Lord? And those things that need to be addressed and refined and repented for, we do that too. We address those things too. We surrender ourselves to Him to be transformed in those areas as well. We don't have to have a mask on with the Lord. We could be honest and he is there to receive all of us. And the best part is he already knows. There's nothing we're going to come to the Lord with that he doesn't already know about anyway. So we might as well take advantage of this closeness that we have access to. He addresses something in his last section before he closes out that I thought was so good. He says, earlier, I mentioned some different occasions when I saw God lead me in an assignment, even when I didn't know all the specifics. But I have also experienced the other side, the times where I did not consistently meet with God and wait on him. There's a certain activity addiction that is associated with leadership. Let's face it, as leaders, we get a rush when we see things moving ahead and getting done. It's fun, and it should be. It encourages us to keep moving to do even more, but there is an inherent danger. We can get to the point where the stuff that we see accomplished can become in and itself the reason why we do it. The action and activity becomes the call, and we drift away from listening to that sweet, assuring voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. Sometimes we have an uneasy feeling about something and we somehow know that the Lord may be telling us not to do something or to wait. Or we may take on more than what the Lord intended for us to do. We don't listen. We don't do things the right way and we sometimes do the wrong things. We make assumptions about what he wants done. And like Moses, we find ourselves overwhelmed and worn out. In our sincere desire to be faithful and to get it all done, we sometimes misread our capacity and begin operating from a sense of guilt rather than a confident sense of God's direction that comes from the overflow of our communion with him. We don't want to give up certain good things, quote unquote, so we keep piling stuff on what was once a pretty strong table. We place one more thing on the table and the weight is too much. The table crashes. This is so good because like he said, once you start seeing things are moving, like I said before, when you start looking up and realizing all of what those yeses you gave God are amounting to, it is so easy to then just continue to push through that. It's a rush. It's a high. It feels good. It makes you excited. That's a part of the enjoyment of this, but we got to be careful with it. We can't let it pull us away from this closeness, this uncommon communion that has been discussed here. I have definitely found myself this way in business for sure. So excited about all that's happening and just really running with it, running at the speed of growth, making decisions, doing things, getting excited and losing track of the pace. This excitement will oftentimes cause us to get ahead of ourselves. And for me, I've definitely been there and I've had to halt, stop. Either the Lord had to blow something up or I've recognized my own behavior and I had to halt, stop, repent, and get back in alignment. The author says here, God never meant his assignments to destroy us, but rather to call us to himself. Once again, it's all about dependence. Leaders are not given the responsibility of telling their own story or accomplishing their own dreams. God gives us his dreams and unfolds his plan to help us because he wants to do something special through us and he wants to make us something special in the process. I think that's a great place to end. If y'all don't got this book, click the link in the show notes to get it. I love this chapter because it's like I said in the beginning, it's honest, it's real, and it's a very sobering reality to what this life looks like. So I'm going to stop this here. We'll pick up with chapter 11 in the next episode. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast, and I'll see you in the next one.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.